So in return for him forfeiting his bond to the city of Chicago and doing community service, we agreed to dismiss the charges against him.
And that community service, what does that look like?
He did community service for Operation Push.
All right, that's Joseph Magus talking to ABC 7. He's the first assistant state's attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledging that a deal was struck here in exchange for the dropping of the charges.
Yep.
Here's a little bit more of Mr. Magus.
He had no prior felony background. He had no history of violence. Like I said, it is a low-level felony. Based on all the facts and circumstances, we feel it was a just disposition in the case. Our goal and our number one priority is combating violent crime and the drivers of violence. And we look to use our resources to do that. And I don't think that Mr. Smollett is a driver of violence, and nor was he someone who's a violent criminal.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, that's fair. I understand that's fair. Here's what's fair about that. That in a lot of these cases and nonviolent offenses, they cut some other sort of a deal. Another kind of a deal to get it to go in a different way. I get it. I understand that.
Right.
But if that's what's going to happen in a high-profile case, acknowledge it. And do not leave the Chicago Police Department. Do not leave the rest of the state's attorney's office. Do not leave the judiciary of the county of Cook out to dry and claim that I was completely this, you know, stick by your story. There has to be an acknowledgement by Jussie Smollett and an apology to Chicago for putting them through
right.
this. He can't stick by his story and get away with this.
There's no time served. A grand jury returned 16 felonies against him. They dropped these charges under these suspicious and certainly questionable circumstances. Then they seal the record and wipe his record clean.
Kevin Graham is the president of Chicago Fraternal Order of Police.
Hello.
Hello. All right. Your reaction to this?
You know, first of all, being extremely disappointed in Kim Fox and in the state's attorney's office is an understatement. The detectives of the Chicago Police Department worked extremely hard. They followed every lead, no matter where it went, to make sure that there was a fair investigation and that Mr. Smollett could not say that we didn't try and do everything we could to make sure that we established what he was saying. But it didn't go that way because that's not what happened. He has failed to admit what he has done, not just to the court system, but to the Chicago Police Department, to the city of Chicago, and in trying to embarrass us. And he walks away without anything. That's unacceptable.
Yeah, as part of this, his attorney, Aaron Regaragos in particular, took big shots at the police department. And even today, his attorney said, they're trying their case through the in the public, and you know they're putting everything out there. The police need to stop that. I mean, they've been trying to drag the name of police through the mud, and I think, you know, there's already a history of things here that we deal with in Chicago that an outsider like Jussie comes in and does that becomes a little offensive. You then have the situation where Superintendent Johnson today said he didn't even know. He learned when the media learned today that this was going to happen. Is that procedural from your view?
No. They often call the police department. We often get calls from people at the state's attorney's office letting the FOP know what things are going to transpire. And we got no notification. I don't believe the superintendent got a notification, the detectives, or the mayor's office. I don't believe we were caught off guard by this. The question really is, why would you take a case that is high profile, that he has denied his involvement, and it is clear that that is not the case that we have found, and let him off the hook? I mean, what does this say to people who don't have high-priced attorneys? What does this say to people who can't afford to go into the court system and have a publicist and change attorneys anytime they need to?
Yeah, he went through a number of them. In this process,
right.
He went through at least five local attorneys were working on this case at least at any given moment here. throughout the process of it on his behalf. And the attorneys that have got, and so, you know, his current attorney has been out doing publicity today. I said, well, you know, he didn't have a representation. He had Hollywood lawyers who were representing him. It was a direct quote from one of them, or entertainment lawyers, you know, who didn't know anything about this kind of thing. So, you know, he wasn't properly represented. That on its face, is not correct. He did have criminal defense attorneys here. He had a number of them throughout this process. So he was aware that the story, that the investigation, to your point, Kevin Graham, from the Fraternal Order of Police, that the police went out, wanted to make sure, because you've got a high-profile guy who's here, who's claiming, the initial claim was, that he had been assaulted for being a gay black man, and that he had been threatened on the set by this letter that had been presented as evidence, that it received this hateful letter that would look like a hostage letter with all this stuff like cut out and put together.
Right.
And that he was targeted and attacked on that night, in the middle of the night here on a Chicago street, by two assailants whom he told police had racial motivation. Now, the next, or cultural motivation, I think, but both, right? And now, all of a sudden, the police go, and they do an amazing job. You know what? Even, they did such a good job of tracking this. They used all the cameras, and they got witnesses to help them with this, which doesn't happen in every case. A lot of people turn on the police department and go, well, how come they worked so hard on the Smollett case? And they couldn't find, you know, they can't find a murder case somewhere else. Well, that's because there are not necessarily cameras everywhere. Downtown, where this happened, there are cameras that follow you all the way out. And these guys took Ubers and cabs, which are now tracked. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole other process here that you don't necessarily get in other places in the city. And then on top of it, they had people that cooperated when they grabbed up these guys at the, you know, at the airport and just come back from their trip in Nigeria.
It.
They basically copped to the whole thing, and they have the video of them buying. We're putting it up on SEAL TV right now. We have video of them buying the rope at the hardware store. Now, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
If the Chicago police did such a crappy job, how come they found the two guys that you said did it?
You know what? Not only did they do a great job, there was more evidence that has not come out in the public, and I think that once that had come into play in court, people would have been amazed at how well the detectives did this. One of the things that really disturbs me in this case is not only does Jesse Smollett get to walk away and claim that he didn't do anything wrong, which certainly doesn't appear to anybody looking at this case that's true. But what's worse in all of this is that it is very clear that something was done, because I've never seen a judge seal all the records so that nobody can take a look at that.
That part just smells. Let me ask you this, in terms of what could happen now. Some have said, well, maybe the feds would bring charges, but that those are still possible because he sent some those threatening letters through the mail, staged this fake attack through the mail, and that there was powder in one of the envelopes. I guess that's a possibility. Could police file a civil suit here? Do you think that's something that would happen here to try to recoup some of the costs of this investigation?
You know what? I mean, I would have to defer that to the city's law department, because I don't know what part of that is in him surrendering his bond, because I'm not sure how that's going, and it certainly is not going to cover the amount of manpower that we put into this case.
The $10,000.
Yeah.
Nowhere near it.
You'd have to ask a practicing attorney on what the legalities is between him surrendering that bond and them going after him in a civil suit.
That shouldn't be the standard anyway, because we pay the police department to do their jobs, and this is not a pay for hire situation. You don't ever really want to be caught in a situation like that, because
but you faked it.
Well, but I know, I get it. But when you do, and there are cases where there are fines levied against people that are meant to cover that. right? That are that are intended for the coverage of that. So yes, that would have had to have been done at in county court today. That apparently wasn't done. His doing whatever community service now they say that he did for Operation Push, and the $10,000 that he is surrendering. But the thing that really, I don't know if you could tell, Kevin, that I'm a little chafed by this whole thing, but I am.
I'm bothered too. I'm pretty angry myself.
And I just can't control it. But you're doing a much better job. I do not understand how can his attorneys stand up and go out and do press for him right now and represent him and say and use terms like, he was the victim in this and finally this is all good. And they're saying all the charges are dropped. They're not talking about a deal being cut. They're making it sound as though, and I think intentionally so, by being very careful with their words, making it sound as though the charges were dropped and this whole thing was turned out as a result of the investigation that he had nothing to do with it. That is not true.
Here's the thing. Although the judge has sealed the records, you can still, and I would imagine that there are going to be news outlets that are going to do the FOIA request on the police reports. And I think people can look at make their own judgment. The Chicago police officers and the detectives that worked this case did an outstanding job, put together a great case. And if Mr. Smollett thinks that he's innocent, then he should turn down that deal and he should go right into court and have his day in court and he can prove his innocence.
All right, now, I want to play one thing for you. Here is also Joe Maggots from he's the first assistant state's attorney talking about the police department. Listen to this.
We stand behind the investigation and the facts that it revealed.
What does that mean?
It means that we believe he did what he was charged with doing.
So you believe that he lied on the police report?
Yes, this was not an exoneration. To say that he was exonerated by us or anyone else is not true.
So you believe he did fill out complete a false police report?
Yes.
Your response from the Fraternal Order of Police to that?
That I think he did file a false police report. I think that our detectives have proved that he had lied to the police, and I think our detectives did a good job of establishing and bringing to a grand jury who really is the one that indicted him. This isn't the Fraternal Order of Police or the Chicago Police Department or one detective making an accusation. A portion of this was brought to the grand jury who found him, found a true bill. They said he needs to stand trial and be charged with this. Right. So, to say later, "Oh, I'm still innocent," is what he's claiming is preposterous.
All right, thank you so much. Really appreciate it, Kevin Graham, Chicago Fraternal Order of Police.
Thank you,
sir. Thank you. All right, let's check in with Kim Gordon right now. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Roe will tell you why prosecutors decided to drop those charges against Empire actor Jesse Smollett.